Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hello.
Hi, long time no see.
Man, look, Family Jewels lives on. You look beautiful. Your skin is glowing.
I don't know what's going on. A little bit of makeup.
You look really
for this
nice.
Call.
I put under eye patches on just so I could cover up some of my face.
You look great. What time is it?
It's like 10:15.
Bless you, you sweet up late woman.
I would just like to go on record and say Melbourne as a city is bullshit.
Excuse me, explain.
Look, you got Australia, you got all of the nature in the freaking world. You got Sydney with the resort level beaches and hikes that are in the city. And you're telling me you're going to have a city in Australia without beach and without hikes? That's just stupid.
Wait, so what is the main activity in your opinion? Food?
Eating. Yeah, people are just brunching all the time. It's...
Yeah, but you love brunch. Well,
I mean...
You want to walk afterwards.
I want a little walk. I want to look at something. Sydney's like... There's like ibises everywhere in Sydney. I don't know, man. The thing is, okay, I have some really hateful things to say. So basically, I haven't used the word hipster in about 10 years, but there is no other way to describe people in Melbourne other than hipster. And I do think hipster is a new world phenomenon that occurs mostly in New York and Melbourne. They're the epicenters, because I do think people are like up themselves and they're overcompensating because they feel insecure because they don't have the sort of old world charm that we do. You know what I mean?
There is so much back in that sentence.
So if you go to like London or Paris, people aren't trying as hard because they are sort of like their old world. They don't have anything to prove. Whereas the new world, is this going to get cut? Is this hateful?
This is staying in, but you are going to have some problems after this. Some people are going to come and find you.
I think New World hipsters, they're just, the insecurity is dripping off of them.
Okay, interesting.
The lack of history, it's showing. You know what I mean?
A deep cut there. How long have you been in Melbourne?
Too long.
48 hours. She's like, the hipsters in this place.
And I'm yeah.
It does kind of, it's logged for me something that, first of all, we did not speak before this, but I think this episode of Family Jewels, that's the podcast we're on right now.
This is a podcast. Yeah. By the way, guys, this is a podcast.
I think we should talk about like traveling and holidays and family holidays and traveling when you were a child and going places.
I actually love that.
But I just went to Margate for the weekend. I want to talk about those hipsters too.
Please.
And B, I need to know if there's still, you've like triggered for me a very strong memory of the time I went to Australia on a family holiday with my family. Wow. What an amazing treat, you would think, right? That you, a 17-year-old and your brother, 15-year-old, could be taken could be taken, all expenses paid by your parents to Australia for 2.5 weeks, all over, seeing everything, just fighting with each other so constantly that I could not tell you one thing we saw. I just fought with my brother for 2.5 weeks far from my house. But the one thing I do remember that we love in my family is there was like a Melbourne tourist center. And there was a video in that center that was like a promotional video for Melbourne. And there was a song on that video that was like, Melbourne. So I need you to go and find that and see if that's still there. It would have been a long time ago now. Melbourne. Like aerial shots. But the whole time we were like, why are we being advertised this? We're here. We're literally in the middle of it. Need an advert. Advertise Perth. You know what I mean?
Those are wasted ad dollars.
Sydney.
Those are wasted ad dollars. That's so
Melbourne. I wish I gotta find it. I gotta know who wrote it. If I even remember it correctly, but we loved it. We loved that Melbourne song. Don't remember anything else.
It sounds like it slaps. It sounds like it's a hit. And honestly, Australia's due do a song about one of its cities. It can't just be New York, New York. You know what I mean? I think we got to put Melbourne on the map.
These new world hipsters in New York, New York, and Melbourne. Yeah, that's what they say. That's what they say. When do you move to your second location?
Next week.
To Sydney?
To Sydney, to homeland, then Brisbane, then Perth, then Auckland, then Wellington, then Auckland again, then Queenstown.
It's a tour.
Then I think Auckland again.
You can't keep me. She's gotta get.
You can't keep me out of this. You can't keep me out of here, man. It's just a different way of life. Things are a little upside down here, if you know what I mean.
What? Now we've traveled together many a time. Now I would say actually, yes. I think you're probably one of my top by volume. Well, you're definitely one of my top by volume travel companions. Maybe.
We've been to Barcelona. We've been to Kiev. We've been to Orlando, Florida.
Three's pretty good. Maybe
that's
I've been to
a crazy selection of locations. I'm not gonna lie.
Real hot spots. Yeah. We've been to Margate. Oh yeah, so I went to Margate at the weekend. Man, that place is hipster Disneyland now. There's like, it's fun. I'm not gonna lie. Every time I struggle with these things, I'm like, boy oh boy, gentrification really does serve my specific needs for a weekend away. I am the problem. But it was nice.
It's an uncanny place. It's an uncanny place.
Yeah. It's very strange. But I went to a good restaurant. So went to a nice restaurant. And what more can you ask? To be unearthed and then to eat. And then have a bite.
Which brings me... I feel like you have told this about on the podcast about how your grandparents were best friends with some... Is it at a movie star? Or
oh my god! Wait, that is a good memory. My grandparents once went not in Margate. After they used to go, my grandparents always used to go to Margate and stay. My dad's parents in a kosher hotel, which I'm obsessed with, obviously. And then I read this book that was like, apparently Bournemouth was really the hotspot for these places that were like Jewish hotels, but like rich Jews going to Bournemouth and like slightly less rich Jews going to Margate, I think, if any. But there was this like one kosher hotel. Then I think they briefly owned a house there where they would stay in the holidays on the ground floor. And then they rented the upstairs floor to two women called Miss Fiddler and Miss Fincher. My dad, like 3 years ago, talking about this, I was like, oh, so they were lesbians. And he was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I guess they were. So what did you think was going on? What did you think was going on?
That is my favorite kind of a Charlie Dinkins story. People around you realizing that someone is a lesbian. Please share the Freud Museum.
I love to do it. I went on a tour at the Freud Museum, one of my favorite places, been many times, with Zoe Tomlin, also another Freud fan. We're like walking around. There are like six women in this tour group with the brand new director of the Freud Museum. Just like a very cool man, a very handsome man. I will say I logged that. And then he's like talking.
What would Freud say? So what would Freud have to say about that?
He was like talking about Anna Freud and her good friend who she lived with and raised her hurt children with for their whole entire lives. And then we were like, yeah, so are you guys ever going to just like say she was gay? And he was like, what?
The director of the Freud Museum.
But all the women like laughing hysterically, everyone in this tour group the whole way around having the best time. It really nothing bonds a group of women. Like,
that's so funny. What do you think is the interview to be the director of the Freud Museum? Do you think they show you pictures of your mom and if you get a boner, you got the job?
I think he'd come from another museum, but I can't remember what one it was. But I was like, do you know what? It's a good museum. You should go. Have you been?
Yeah, I've been. It's an iconic London date to go to the Freud Museum.
Yeah, and you can really walk around and think what it would be like if you could like afford an actual house in London. It's like, my whole family lived here. Cool.
But it's funny because, I wouldn't say funny, I take that back. It's not funny. It is tragic is what it is. That you could still visit his flat in Vienna where he did the bulk of his work, but it's completely empty because he had to move so fast.
It's wild.
So you kind of get neither. It's, what's that? It's that, is it Ship of Theseus? Is that the thing?
Ooh,
the thing where you like...
Is.
Is a thought experiment about whether an object is the same object after having had all of its original components replaced. So in Greek mythology, so basically the idea that like you, if a bit of a ship gets rusty and you keep replacing it, but then you built a new ship out of all the rusty bits you picked off, which is the actual ship.
Ooh.
So that's how it feels because you go into the Freud's house in Vienna and it's completely empty and they have like photographs of things that used to be there, and so you're like, I'm not getting the full experience. But then you go to the Freud house in London and you're like, okay, well, this is all his actual shit, but everywhere on the wall text it says originally he would have only used this in Vienna. And he never really practiced as much in London because he was so old. And so it's like, it's a very Ship of Theseus situation because you're like, which is the more authentic place? Because you need the, like, you're not fully getting the experience in either of them.
You're so clever. You should do a PhD.
Look, I'm getting canceled for calling out New World hipsters.
She does both. Wait, oh, okay. Finishing my grandparents' story is...
Please.
They, after that, when my dad had finally left home, they started going to somewhere like Benidorm-y in the winter, maybe somewhere in Spain. I feel like it was Benidorm, but it might not have been there. That doesn't sound right. Anyway... At one of those places, I think when they were more in Spain, they had a beach hut, although beach hut sounds English, doesn't it? On one holiday that they went on, they spent the whole summer next to John Le Mesurier and Hattie Jakes. And John Le Mesurier,
she says with the inflection as if I'm going to freak the fuck out.
No, you're going to know. Some people will love that. Okay, John Le Mesurier from Dad's Army. Did you ever watch Dad's Army? Have you heard of Dad's Army?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It is good. It's a good
show. I'm sure it is.
I saw on Chortle that the guy who produced it just died. He was like very old. He was in that.
Yeah, that sounds like a Chortle news story.
Yeah. It really is. And I think it just said like BBC man dies or something. He was like, don't even worry. We don't even expect you to know who this is. And then Hattie Jakes was in lots of Carry On films, but they were both really big comedy stars. But a thing about them that I'm going to tell, like it's a funny story, but I think it might actually have been sad, is that they moved a lodger into their house, and then she started having an affair with the lodger, and then like the lodger moved into her bedroom, and John Le Mesurier, I think that's how you say that, moved into the other room.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The way he kept living there. Oh my God. To get cucked. That is actually
you
comedy
could be
gold.
The biggest
to
star
be fair, the funniest
Dad's
thing
Army.
To do is to be a cuck. So, you know what? Actually, he completed comedy.
Yeah, that was their good celebrity connect. Have you got any celebrity holiday stories?
Celebrity holiday stories. I once saw Richard Gere when I went to India. Obviously, he's always there. He's famously always there.
I knew you'd come good straight out of
the bat. And I remember my mom's like, we gotta get a picture with him. And then she took a picture of me with him. And then the camera didn't work, so we had to come back. And I was like, please, can I get a photo? And I was like a child. And he just went, if it will mean that much to you. A child. I mean, I think everyone was in the wrong. I should have left Richard Gere alone. But my mother wanted that photo.
Have you got the photo?
I've got the photo. I also have a photo with Bill Clinton in Central Park.
That's the I need to all the photos that you have.
It captioned my first internship. But the strategy there was we were with my brother who was a little baby. And so my mom like elbowed everybody by being like, I have a baby. And so we got to the front row and then I got to take a picture with Bill Clinton. Was my mother knows how to do it.
What year was that? Had he been president?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, when was Bill Clinton president? I'm sorry.
I think Bush era. Bush era, I took a picture with Bill Clinton.
Sick.
Maybe Bush second term. It's giving Bush second term. So tell me, okay.
Mom's the hustler. Sorry, go on. Please.
Oh, she is. She wants. She's very, very good at it. One of her famous stories is that once James Cameron opened a door for her at the Titanic premiere in Moscow, and she had no idea who he was, and she was like, "All right, thanks. He's handsome." And then he walked on stage, and she was like, "Oh my God, he directed this film."
She rode
in a train car with Vladimir Putin overnight. But what, obviously, way pre, he was Vladimir
this
Putin.
This cannot be second in the list after James Cameron held a door for me. And then I spent a night with Vladimir Putin. Sandwiched.
My mother's got good stories. My mother gets very good stories.
Wait, we've not told that story on this podcast before. You should tell the
train car. Vladimir.
Yeah. Did we?
So this is a type of train, like an overnight train car where it's like four people, two bunk beds, right? But a lot of times they'll just have the two, and I think it was just the two of them going from St. Petersburg to Moscow on a train.
Wow.
Just one of the most boring things.
She could have been Olga Putin in a different life.
I could have been Olga Putin. Yeah. If my mom knew what was good for her.
But now I feel like you're sort of the opposite.
Look, when it comes to family holidays, what yes. were the formats of the holidays that your parents took you on?
Great question. Thank you. So here were types of holidays that we liked. For a lot of years, we would go in the summer on our big summer holiday with another family, the same family every year. Who is my dad's best friend, who he works
Do they have kids and are they your age?
They have kids. They're very slightly younger than me. One of them is my brother's age. One of them is 2 years younger. And then they have like a 10 or something year, like maybe even longer gap to the third one, who is called Molly, who's now like 20 something. She's great.
Okay.
We would go for like 2 or 3, maybe even 3 weeks to the same place in France. It was like holiday camp kind of set up. The things I remember are you would stay in your own little house, your little gîte, your little chalet, if you will, which had the most uncomfortable beds to this day I've ever slept on in my entire life. Absolutely horrible. Never improved. Awful, awful, awful. The parents would go off and drink a lot by themselves at the one bar. And then we would just like run wild. Like I remember once like having a literal war with another group of children with like sticks and stones and no grown-ups.
You went like full Lord of the Flies.
We would go feral. I didn't wear shoes for 3 weeks. It was quite hippy dippy actually, considering what my parents, well, maybe my dad is a bit like that now, but that was like a big main type of holiday for us. And then when I got older, my parents really liked like an adventure holiday, hence Australia. We also went to India. We went to China. It was cool. They were the three main places, but those three were really cool. Oh, and we went to Sri Lanka with that family because he is Sri Lankan. So that was really cool because he had not been back to Sri Lanka for a long time, but it was like really nice to be there with someone who.
So when you're going on a family holiday, is it always your entire family or is there a type of holiday that like you only go with your dad or your brother goes with your mom?
Never. No. And actually, the older I get, the more I like hear about other people doing that. I didn't realize that was an option. I think that sounds cool. Have you done holidays like that?
Yeah. So like basically it would, there's like different models because again, we have three children and the three children are so far apart that I think I struggle to remember any holidays where we went all together because like my sister would have been a full grown woman by the time that my brother was born. And so, but also like there was like a format of holiday that I would just go with my dad. It was just like me and my dad going on a weekend somewhere. I remember we went to Barcelona, just the two of us.
What? So,
in retrospect, like super weird. What the fuck did we talk about? But we managed to find stuff to talk about.
That's so sweet. Wait, yeah. What age bracket were you in when you were mostly doing those?
I think it's when I was in boarding school in London, so we would meet somewhere. Very chic.
It is chic.
But growing up, the number one holiday is spending a month of your life in Fyodorovka, which is a tiny village outside of where my dad grew up, where my grandmother used to live.
Yeah.
And it was basically every cousin from every extended family would get dropped off there as like a summer camp. Yes. And it would just be chaos. It would be chaos. Because the thing is, essentially, it's like when I look back at that house, it started like as a hut. But the more people started coming in and like expanding, they started building around it. But architecturally, it made no sense. There would be like a huge marble corridor, and then it would be like a wood roof, and then it would be a clay fucking extension, and it would make no sense. Like, you couldn't go from room to room. You'd have to like go around because there would just be a wall where there should be a door.
The Winchester Mystery House, isn't that what it's called?
Yeah. And it would be like, and the thing is, I wouldn't say that my grandmother's a hoarder, but it is, but she is. It's almost like my cousins call them installations, when like in every corner of the house there'll be like a penny, a thimble, an old receipt, and a passport photo. And it'll just be like tiny little
corners
shrines
of things. Yeah.
And it's like kind of things that like, I guess I understand why you're not throwing this away, but also it's just like, is this the place for it?
Well, there is no place for it. That's the point. It must take up its own space as it demands. It makes sense to her. If she one day she's going to be like, oh man, quickly, I need a penny and a little picture. I know exactly where they are. Yeah, that's so magical.
And because it was in the south of Russia, so she would have like harvests of like strawberries, and they would literally just be around, or like pears and plums and things, and you would just as a kid run around and eat them off the trees. It was like paradise for kids.
That's very idyllic. Who was your preferred cousin? Like, who were you pumped to see when you would go there?
So serendipitously, my aunt had three children also quite far apart. And so my sister and my male cousin are similar age. Me and one of my female cousins are similar age. And my brother and my another cousin are similar age.
Wow.
So we each had our own like shadow evil twin.
Yes.
And so those would be the people that we would be paired with. But then it's really one of the craziest things. I don't think I've ever told this on the podcast before. I don't know if I've even told you this before. She is a very eccentric woman, my grandma. I talked about her before when I said that she was one of four sisters. So she was very, very into getting attention, because you're constantly competing for attention with your other sisters. So she, at the local amusement park in the small town where my dad grew up, she found a street artist who was doing caricatures. And she's like, you work for me now. And he painted oil paintings of everyone in the family. Famously, you know, the one with the big foot.
What?
Yeah. So she,
amazing.
She had like a resident artist who did the entire family. Yeah. So then like there's oil paintings of everyone in the family. They are insane. They're absolutely insane. She did my aunt as the Virgin Mary. It was insane.
They were just getting creative by the end. They were like, it's too many of you. Someone's got to be on a motorbike. He's a caricature. It's like everyone's on
The caricature
artist. Paint it out. That's why you got such a big foot. Radical.
Yeah. He's like, I won't do it unless one thing is out of proportion. And so basically one of the corridors in the crazy maze house was all these oil paintings of everyone in the family. But then once everybody left, and like now they've sold the house doesn't exist anymore. Thank fuck, it's haunted. She changed our bedrooms, because there would be like two bedrooms that were just like for the cousins. It became a family museum. So she printed out wall text and put it on the walls. It was so extra. It was so over the top. So she's like, this is my museum. And so she like got and printed out all the wall text, and like she framed all this stuff. It was so funny. But it would just be like but it was literally like a, what's it called? It would be like a sewing machine she used as a little girl. And she's like, now it's part of the exhibition.
Have I ever told you that I made a museum? Not of my family, but at my parents' house, there is a Wendy house, you know, like a shed, but it has like a little bit of like fringing on the, it's like for a child, a playhouse.
Yeah. Okay.
So I had this playhouse, and then I stopped using it as a playhouse because I was like, 8 or whatever. I was like just a little bit too old for a playhouse. And then I was like, I'm going to turn this into a museum. So I went all around my house and like in my garage and stuff, like, and just like found stuff and then put it in the museum. And then I did a museum opening with like cutting some toilet roll, and I made everyone come look like around my museum.
That is the most Charlie Dinkin thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
That is the most Charlie Dinkin thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And on display, there was a penny, a thimble.
Yeah, it was literally like that. But one thing I definitely had was a commode, like a toilet for a bedroom, like an old one. It was like a wooden box. I think it was like Victorian or something. We had all this crap because my grandpa either like had a junk shop kind of at one point or was like doing some stuff with like junk, had junk. He was like junk trading for some reason. And so we had a lot of like old, mad, weird stuff that was like left over from my dad's house when he was a child. And so one thing that existed, I think it was like Victorian or Edwardian. It was like a wooden box. You lifted up a lid and then it was like, you could sit on it and there was a bowl in it. So it was like fit in your bedroom. Like if you needed to use the toilet inside
and you didn't have
an inside toilet. And then we just had that in our house forever for some reason. And then I put that in my museum and I was like, come and see the toilet.
I love that. No, but it's technically a.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's a historic artifact that deserves to be on display.
It's probably still in there. I literally haven't even been back in. I think my dad does store something in there, but I don't think he moved any of the quotation marks artifacts out.
I love that. What would you put in the museum of your family right now if you had to do a little exhibit?
What a question, but so difficult. Do you have a good answer for that?
So I still have the very first piece of jewelry my dad ever gave my mom when they were still students. And it's like a hollow, I think like, I mean, fake gold or gold plated little bird brooch. So I think that should go there.
That's right? So good. Because that's like the origin story of your parents and you.
It's cute.
That's symbolic of that.
It's cute. I would do also my sister, her 90s dresses, like all the graduation, like all her like high school graduation stuff. That would be really cute.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Obviously, the picture of me with Bill Clinton. Our Writers Guild Award, obviously.
Yeah, that's going in one way or another. That's going in a museum for some reason. Yeah, that's so good. I have one. Yeah, well, I think nothing. That's such an interesting question. I'm going to think about it. But it's like summarizes us. I guess I have like one object that like always just was like, oh, so moving to me right from when I was a child was that my dad had this teddy bear that was his from when he was a child, but it was already way too old to be his. I should actually ask him about it. Anyway, we called it Old Ted, but it was like really old. It was like too old from my dad's childhood, but it was like my dad's precious toy from his childhood, and he gave it to me.
So it was old by the time he got it. Okay.
And I don't know why that was, and now I'm gonna ask. Because it actually didn't even occur to me till now. But it's like really, really old. But it's not in good condition. It's just like incredibly loved. And then once when I was a child, it's like stuffed with straw. Its hands and feet were like falling apart and straw was falling out. And so I asked my mum's mum, my nana, to make it little gloves and shoes. Because I was like, maybe that will like keep it together. And she did do a good job. She knitted them, but she stitched them onto the bear. And I remember being like, horrified that she'd done that. I was like, this must be preserved for the future. You have like ruined, like you are not a museum standard preservationist. You have stitched this completely different material onto this bat and you have ruined the history of it.
You're like your boss baby, but your curator baby.
Yeah, I really was very interested in being a museum curator, actually.
That's really funny.
I've forgotten about that.
Imagine it's like the first Barbie museum curator. Look, she can shush.
Yeah. Literally. Oh my God, you've just also, so many revelations of memories. Please. Now. One thing I got to find that I'm sure I have somewhere that always really made me laugh was that apparently once my dad went to America for work when I was really small, and apparently I'd asked for some inappropriate language here, but it was a different time. You must remember the early 90s. But I'd asked for an American Indian Barbie out of love. I guess I like knew about like Pocahontas or something.
Right.
Anyway, my dad went into a Toys R Us and was like, do you have an American Indian Barbie? And a woman like dressed him down so angrily and was like, we do not say American Indian. And then she was like, but we do have a Native American Barbie.
Did you get a Native American Barbie though?
Yeah, and then I got a Native American Barbie.
Well, there you go.
So I learned a lesson and I got a toy. And then I remember my dad giving it to me and being like, don't take it out of the box. It'll be valuable one day. And then I like, obviously, immediately, I would like take it out of the box and then put it back in as if I hadn't. I was like, maybe no one will know.
I also love the idea that your dad gave it to you and was like,
yeah, collect.
Yeah, but you're not going to actually play with this, right?
Yeah. My first little investment.
Baby's first little investment.
Baby's first investment. Yeah.
I would also probably put a bunch of like Soviet Union shit in there just because I guess that's like a pastime. I think my first ever passport had Soviet Union written over it.
Do you think you still have it?
Yeah, probably. Let's put that in the museum.
Okay, now I feel like there is going to be a museum of you, so
okay,
you should
well, we,
think
we
about
have
this.
To do
I'll curate
a family,
it.
A family jewels, and then you, yeah, you'll be.
And then I can be the curator of something. Oh, maybe I'd forgotten my true dream, and now I've remembered it.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me more about your holiday set. So one format was the visiting grandma's house. One
yeah, but that's format, you get dropped off, and then yeah, mom walks away no without parents. Looking back as you cry.
What do your parents do while you're there?
Oh, they're vibing. They're just...
They're off.
They're off.
Or they're at home. You don't know. You just don't know what they're doing.
We sit, there's simply no way of knowing. But then it's like, it is a mad vibe. Because there's like, there's so many kids around. Apart from the house, they're in the streets. There's a river. There's bicycles. There's dogs. Like, it's paradise for kids.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's warm.
I love that.
There's a paddle pool. There's just a hose constantly on. You know that.
You're not showering, but you are rinsing a lot.
You're getting hosed down. One of the funniest thing that was happened, it was like, okay, I mean, I think like prime time for that was like up to maybe 12 you would go. And then after it gets a little boring, I guess like maybe some people started getting into their kissing era. I certainly didn't get into my kissing era until I was 17. So that was not relevant to me. But basically one of the things I distinctly remember one of my cousins saying is like, we would run around in the mud all day, right? And we would get really, really dirty feet. And then my cousin was like, it's a miracle. You go to sleep with dirty feet and then you wake up with clean ones. Because obviously throughout the night you rubbed off the dirt with the duvet or the
it's
blanket.
It's a miracle.
But it's like, it's fucking vile. It's disgusting. Like, the dirt's still there. But I just remember her being like, isn't it crazy how you go to sleep dirty but wake up clean?
That was magic for her. That was the magic of childhood.
Yeah, no one's coming in the middle of the night to wash your feet, honey. You're sleeping in the filth.
You've reminded me of twice that I remember. Okay, three incidents. I'll try and do them quickly. Twice I remember I was left with my grandparents and well, my parents went off. Once I think was because my mom was doing an open university degree and she had a week's residential course. So we
oh my
were
God,
dropped
love
at
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Love
so
that.
Cute. We were
it would be either that or a boob job. Anyways.
Well, and why not both? You know, it's a week. You could do a lot. Read while you're recovering. That was in a static caravan.
Okay.
Somewhere in the north that was near-ish my northern cousins, my Hartlepool cousins. But I don't know if it was in Hartlepool. But that was, so it was my Nana and granddad. And then I think all my cousins at various points like cycled in to come and stay. Fun thing about that holiday was my brother and I were purchased a mobile phone.
That's
a very
cool,
pebbly big mobile phone that was definitely a Motorola, I remember. You couldn't do anything with it, but because we were very worried about not being able to call up. parents, which I don't think would have been an issue. That sounds like a scam we were doing, but whatever. So
you got a phone out of that.
And then my cousin Eddie drank vinegar direct from the bottle. He was younger than me. I don't know why he did it, but I remember it very strongly.
The thing is, before I've told you about my big theory about children.
Yes.
You're Remind into me. Detective stories. And then once you grow out of detective stories, you grow into roller coasters. And then once you grow out of roller coasters, you get into sex. You need to get thrills and adrenaline somehow. And I do truly believe those are the three stages of thrills. You're like, first you're like, ooh, Sherlock Holmes. And then you're like, ooh, Six Flags. And then you're like, ooh, hand jobs.
This is an exhibition we're setting up at the Freud Museum.
I genuinely can't show my work. Because it's like you like adrenaline and that's how you seek it.
It's true.
And so I do think that there is that moment. There, somewhere between detective stories and roller coasters, you get into mysticism. Like we would love to all cousins get together, do a Ouija board, do a seance. The thrill of drawing the curtains with your cousins and doing a seance.
Yeah, that's really fun.
And then you would go like, who are we bringing back? And it would be like Pushkin or somewhere who's like the Shakespeare of Russia. And you're just like, what the fuck are you going to ask the Shakespeare of Russia?
All the time, poor Pushkin is just like trying to have a rest in groups of cousins.
Because we didn't know anyone who's died. And we're like, you know who's dead? Pushkin. But then in Russia, I think it's like a Nordic thing. We do a lot of like fortune telling. There's a lot of like you say a thing and you put maybe like a comb, like a hair comb or a mirror under your pillow and you fall asleep. And then in your dreams, you see someone. So my mom famously did that. And she, as like at the age of 15 or 17, saw my dad enter the room. And when she met him in real life, she was like, you're the guy from my dreams. Again, obviously it's a lie, but that's the lore. The lore is that she did the fortune telling ritual and she saw a guy enter her room and he looked exactly like my dad. But there's so many of those like fortune telling-y things. So there's if there's ice, you like throw stuff on the ice. There's lots to do with mirrors, with fire, with lighting candles. It's like all that kind of stuff. It's called gadanie, and it's like essentially like folk fortune telling.
Ooh.
I think like the tarot girlinas would be super into gadanie, and so yeah. You would do that as a fucking teenager. Oh my god, it would be that, and it would be like stunt shit, like drinking vinegar. Like we had an old treadmill in that house. Sorry, I'm just. I'm
Tell me, I
right
gotta
now.
Hear it.
But we you had must. An old treadmill in that house, and my male cousin was a hockey player. So we would put on his hockey uniform with the helmet, tie pillows to ourselves, put the treadmill on the biggest speed, and then smash into the wall. And then you would see. That's exactly the type of shit you do. It's like cousin shit. That's cousin culture, man.
Cousin culture.
Drinking vinegar.
Just absolutely slamming off stuff.
Yeah, and then you like start really slow, and then you increase the speed, and then see who can handle the
You're just
faster.
Taking small risk. It's all cousin culture is damning.
Cousin culture is like junior jackass. Jackass junior, it is.
What's, do you know with my cousins? So I have Libby, who's 7 years older than me, and then Callum, who's my age, and Libby now City AM's wine columnist. You can go look her up.
Thank you. I think she'd be really grateful for the publicity.
You should go follow her. She has a YouTube channel. We made a lucky dip in a box. This is a horrible story.
Wait, I'm like, so ready. Wait, what's a lucky dip?
Like, you know when you'd put a hand in and pull something out? It'd be like a children's party game and you'd like get a prize. But you can't see your prize. You're like selecting the prize.
Yeah.
We were probably like 7 and then she was 14. We got a plastic thing and we put some toys in it and then we put soil in it. And then my brother and my cousin peed in it. And then I was like, oh, Libby, come and do our lucky dip. And then she was like such a good sport and just did it and like got one out and was like nice about it. And then I don't think we told her for years that there was pee in it. And then we were like, surprise. Remember? Remember?
Charlie, that's disgusting.
Isn't that gross?
That's Isn't so that gross? Gross. But also the fact that she didn't
Junior
even
jackass.
Know. So it's like, who's getting owned?
Who's getting punked?
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she talks about it to this day. And I'm with her. I think that was
culture.
Really horrible. That is cousin culture. Yeah, that's mad cousin culture. Oh, wait, so I was going to tell you, the other drop-off with my grandparents' holiday. Somewhere by the seaside, I was left to stay in a small house with my grandparents. I remember nothing about it except I woke up early one morning. I'm sure I've told you this. I woke up early one morning and I was watching the Teletubbies, and I was a bit old for the Teletubbies, so I changed the channel, and then I was watching the news, and then I was my nana was in the bath having a 3-inch of cold water bath, which was a thing that for some reason you did at her house, the shallowest, coldest baths, very economical. And I was like, Nana, how many Princess Dianas are there? And she was like, there's one. And I was like, oh, because she's dead. And then she ran completely nude.
No, into the living room.
And that's where I was when Princess Diana died.
Wait, was she like really upset?
Yeah, she was devastated. Are you kidding me? She was like naked and wet and crying.
That's the funny thing is that you as a child saw that story and you were like, there must be, Princess Diana just must be like a type of person.
It was such an odd clarifying question.
Like Lassie.
Not even to repeat it, to like try and puzzle it out. Like, yeah, like how many of them are there? Because I guess one would, but this is, I did this way, this is the most sinister thing I've ever done in my entire life. My granddad was cleaning my bedroom window from the outside on the second floor of our house when I was a really little child, and my mum and I were in my room, and he fell off the ladder and hit his head very bad. He like really had a, he had to go to hospital and everything. It was like very terrible. He might even have had a stroke. It was like really, really bad. But as he fell off the ladder, my mum went, oh my God, dad's fallen off the ladder. And I went, he's not my dad.
What?
Isn't that sinister?
You literally went, that's a you problem.
He's not my dad.
I look after my dad. My dad's fine.
Yeah, my dad's cool. I got eyes on him. This seems like you should have been watching.
So you should I watch your him. Own dad.
Isn't that crazy? That I just was like, that was the first thing was, I just got to clarify this small thing.
That's really, really funny.
Yeah, that's crazy. Weird. But they were my two being dropped at my grandparents. And then once, I think quite often my grandparents would come and stay at my house while my parents went on holiday. It's hard to judge the exact amount of time like in your childhood that your parents went away without you, which I do think is like a thing parents have a good right to do now that I'm an adult. But I think my parents were going away relatively frequently, like for a weekend. And my grandparents would come. And I just remember one time, because my granddad left in the car and left my brother and I alone, he claims, and claimed for a long time afterwards, to go to the end of the road to buy cigarettes. Like, and also it was, you know, like it was the 90s, you could leave kids alone everywhere. But I, in that 4 minutes, found the phone number of their friends, Shirley and Michael, my grandparents' friends, and called them and said that we'd been abandoned by my grandparents.
That's
and then
classic.
I guess pre-mobile phone, they then got in a car and drove to my parents' house. And then my grandparents were like, why are you here?
That like, is, Charlotte that's called. Classic. That's classic. Kids are little bitches. I mean, this reminds me, the calling the thing, that reminds me of me pretending to be my dad's mistress.
Tell it again.
It's an insane story.
Tell it again, it's perfect.
As a young girl, me and my grandmother used to love watching soap operas. Soap operas were new in the in Russia, and so we were both watching them with sort of wide-eyed glee. We were fascinated by, what is this sexy export from South America? And so I got so invested into them that at the age of like 3 or 4, extremely young, we had 2 phone lines in my house. So I called from one to the other, and I left a voicemail saying that I was my father's mistress, and that that he was going to leave my mom for me. And my mom believed it, and she packed my dad's bags. And then my dad had to listen to it, and then he recognized my voice. And then they confronted me, and I was like, guilty. And here I am in showbiz, baby.
Everything about it is amazing.
It's such a cruel thing to do. It's such a fundamentally cruel thing to do. Apart from the fact that I pulled it off and my mom didn't recognize my own voice. Crazy. But it's just like, what was the end goal here?
Yeah, I guess you just thought it was exciting to be that. You wanted to create some drama.
I do love drama.
Yeah, maybe it was just that. It's so, I mean, impossible to get inside the mind of a child like that, but wow, stunning. Love it. What a move.
What? And it's like, yeah, did you always know that you were going to end up in showbiz? In a way, I did.
Yeah, when I was like catfishing my dad.
I invented catfishing, actually. I invented catfishing. Also, what a grip on technology. Understanding how voicemails work at like 3 or 4, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
But kids now, they're on that. They're swiping, you know, they know.
They're using retinol.
Yeah, they are using retinol. I heard it on TikTok. My niece, Cece, now has a phone the whole time. She like loves to hold a phone. She's like 1.5. And then when they're like, who are you calling?
Is it a real phone?
Yeah, she has like her mum's phone or her grandma's phone or something. She like holds the phone and then pretends to play on the phone. And then they'll be like, who are you calling? And then she goes, Ben and Karki. And that's me. I'm Karki.
You're Karki.
Yeah, or sometimes Carly, but never Charlie.
That's so cute. That's yeah, she's so always cute, phoning us. It's also us. Cute that she knows you as a unit. That's really sweet.
Yeah, she's always calling us up, saying something, apparently. I'm not party to her, but she's been having some big, long conversations with us. It's cute. Did you ever go on like a, well, you were at boarding school, but did you go, probably not before that, but like, were there like school trips? Were there school holidays?
I did the classic one to the beaches of Normandy. You gotta.
Classic.
You absolutely must. You must. And then all of us every year in high school did the senior Greece trip. It's a scandalous famous story how every senior class in my high school would go on a Greece trip, and then my school had both boarding students and day students, and they didn't speak to each other until the Greece trip because everybody was mixed, and then there will be the first kiss of a day student and a boarding student that would happen
Romeo
on the Greece
trip. Romeo and Juliet!
Exactly, and then because that would happen over fall break, autumn break, that would mean that the mixing has begun, and so the day students and boarding students would start sitting together at the cafeteria, and then other couples would start forming, and then at prom there would be lots of multi sort of cross enemy lined couples, and I was a participant of one of the first day student boarding student kisses in Athens, Greece. And it changed my life forever. I'm not going to say his name, but I will say that to this day, every single time he posts his wife on Instagram, I comment saying, who is she? He has unfollowed me since, but I will not unfollow him.
He's hinting, but he's not got the balls to block. So until he does, the message is not clear.
He hasn't blocked. Who is she? I think it's something that I do for
That's
me.
An amazing bit. It's
something
bit.
I do for myself. On their wedding photo, I commented, who is she?
That's why you got unfollowed. I was the reverse way around.
Tell me.
Because my first boyfriend was a boarder at my school.
So you're familiar with an intercultural relationship.
Familiar with the dynamic. My school did a trip to Russia in the sixth form.
That's crazy. Did you all get visas?
Well, I actually didn't go on it because that's when my family went to Australia. So I went on our Australia trip instead. But my boyfriend went, yeah, I guess a big group goes. And then it all sounded really shady and like everything was chaos. But the one choice he did make was that he, I believe is a dare, but maybe it was a dare me dare, shaved with clippers a line down the center of his head. And then just kept his hair like that. Just kept his hair like that till it was time to go back to school.
That's classic school trip antics, though. That's classic school trip antics.
And I was like, that seems like a good guy. That seems like a good guy to be around. That seems like a kind of guy. That I should spend a year trying to date.
Look, we've all made mistakes. And the guy that I kissed at that senior trip married someone else. We all make mistakes, okay? He'll see the light. If not today, one day.
What did you do when you were in Athens, Greece?
just like see the Parthenon, but mostly I remember we were flirting and holding hands up until the end of the trip, and the trip ended in Athens, but we hadn't kissed, and it was like time crunch. And so I walked him to his room because I'm a fucking boss, and then I was like, are we gonna kiss? And he's like, which side are we gonna lean? So we both went right, his right, my right. And then the second we started kissing, because it was my first kiss, I got so nervous I had to run away to my room and vomit. Yeah, that was my first kiss. Gorgeous. Oh, gorgeous.
You negotiated the head side first, and then you had to go and be sick.
Well, technically, my first kiss was three separate men in a nightclub a few months before that, but I couldn't pick out any of them in a lineup, so they don't count.
Yeah, it's Taylor's all this time.
Yeah, the first named kiss was this guy. Is that...
The first named kiss in Athens, Greece on a school trip in the year. Precious memories. Who is she?
One of the saddest things that I did after that was, do you remember the Beyonce song Sweet Dreams?
I do.
I saw that it was in his top 25 most played on iTunes, and I was like, I will also listen to it enough for it to be in my top 25 most played so we can have something in common. A dark time.
But wait, what happened? So you kissed on that trip and then what? Nothing ever again.
Turns out that he was in love with another girl the entire time, but she was on a different trip, and so he like kind of settled for me. And then did I befriend that girl? And then did I have my closeted gay best friend start dating that girl and take her to winter ball so the original guy could see that she was taken and maybe I was still on the table? And was the guy still not interested in me? I guess we'll never know. Shall we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. I think we've done pretty well. Well, it was lovely to see you in this episode.
It's nice to catch up with you, Charlie. I miss you very much.
I miss you. All right. Bye. It's not produced by... Well, it's usually produced by Comedy Kerfuffle. Obviously, we're just recording this ourselves. It may or may not work this week. And Ronan Shields does the theme tune. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.